You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Well, folks, New Year's Eve is almost here, and if you're like me, you probably have zero plans to celebrate. Can't go out to eat, can't throw a party, and any public events are all but canceled. But truthfully, isn't it kind of a hassle anyway? I mean, who wants to stand around at a party drinking cheap champagne, talking about your New Year's resolutions, and worrying that your first act of 2021 will be getting a DUI? I've never gotten the point of spending a fortune to dine out with a bunch of strangers on a set menu comprised of things you don't even like, and the appeal of crowding into Times Square and freezing your ass off with a bunch of drunks continues to elude me. So this year, why not just take it easy, stay in your pajamas, order in, and celebrate with Joel McHale and Ken Jeong on Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2021. Today, Joel McHale comes on the show to share his excitement for his first time hosting a New Year's Eve special and how he's looking forward to relentlessly roasting his pal Ken Jeong for a full 3.5 hours. Joel reveals why he and Ken just can't quit each other and the origins of their recent pandemic-themed podcast, The Darkest Timeline. We also discuss how Netflix has breathed new life into he and Ken's comedy series Community, what it was like to work with that comedic genius Dan Harmon on the show, and the status of the long-talked-about Community movie. Joel recalls juggling making Community at the same time as his other series, The Soup, how that show took off with the rise of social media and reality TV, and the one daytime talk show that refused to let The Soup use their clips. Then he teases some of the musical guests on Fox's New Year's Roast and Toast, and attempts to explain to me the concept behind The Masked Singer and now Fox's new show, The Masked Dancer. Coming up with Joel McHale in just a moment. That's interesting. For some reason on the screen under, you know how it says your name on your thing? For some reason, yours says Ben Mathis Jr.
Yeah, Ben, I changed
Are
it
we related?
You owe me money.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Actor, comedian, TV host,
Oh, Ben, you fucked that up. Jeez.
Not for the last time, I'm sure.
You sound like me.
Actor, comedian, and TV host Joel McHale is best known as the star of the NBC comedy series Community and for his 12 seasons as host of The Soup on E! He is currently the host of the popular game show Card Sharks and co-host of the podcast The Darkest Timeline. Where were we here?
I don't know, Ben Mathis. Okay. You tell me.
Okay, Ben Mathis Jr.
Now, Dad!
Now he and Ken Jeong are teaming up once again to say goodbye to 2020 and hopefully hello to a better year on Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2020, which airs, of course, December 31st at 8, 7 Central.
Yes.
Joel, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thanks for that very thorough and lengthy intro, Ben Mathis, my dad.
Is it thorough? I kind of feel like we started with the beginning, Community and Soup, and then we just skipped up to like yeah, whatever you did in the last month.
Lot. So it was
we
good.
We probably missed a lot.
Where are you located, Ben Mathis?
In LA.
Oh.
I'm assuming you are here as well, right?
You bet I am. We're always here. But your sweater threw me off, but then you forget that LA lives in a constant state of air conditioning.
Well, yeah, and my studio is in a constant state of air conditioning, so.
That's good. Your studio looks necessity. A lot like a bookshelf, so I like yeah. that.
Yeah, see, I am actually, I feel like I'm not really, it's December, it's like almost Christmas, and I'm wearing fall colors, so I feel like I'm a little bit off here.
Yeah,
like
that's really this, disgusting.
It yeah, really fall argyle. So, but I don't own an ugly Christmas sweater, so I don't know.
You do, and you're wearing it.
No, it's an ugly Thanksgiving sweater.
No, it's beautiful. How dare you?
You got this special coming up on the 31st.
Yeah.
You have managed to keep surprisingly busy during quarantine, sir. You had I Love You on The Tiger King and I for Netflix. Mm-hmm. You got your podcast. Now this. Mm-hmm. What's your secret to finding work when the industry's basically shut down?
Oh, well, I'm an obsessive compulsive workaholic ADHD type person, so I can't stop. So there's that. And I think because all the A-list celebrities were like, oh, man, forced vacation? No problem. I'm just going to leave and enjoy myself. I'll be here quarantined in the Maldives. And so us C-listers could step in and just clean up.
Nice.
That was how I was just there was nobody here. So I could clean up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see like Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise with Ken Jeong hosting this special.
Yeah, no, they'll be making an appearance, I'm sure.
Oh, will they?
Sure. We're trying to get Tom Cruise to come on and scream at us.
Yeah. Now, this New Year's special, of course, like I said, reunites you and Ken Jeong. Or can we even call it reunite? I mean, you two are basically inseparable. How many different things have you done together since Community?
Yeah, I mean, we're reunited after a month after being on I Can See Your Voice.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, no, it's not a reunion. No, I guess every time people get together, if they've already met each other, is it a reunion?
Good question. It's a continuation. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Ken and I ridicule each other constantly in the public. And so, because he's the worst doctor ever. and so I think the president of Fox was like, I like it when those two guys yell at each other. So Ken and I have been friends since 2009.
Yeah.
So we obviously know each other pretty well. And I think it would be really weird if he was partnered with someone he didn't really know and just started insulting them. So
guys are good at that. I've enjoyed you yelling at each other on your podcast, The Darkest Timeline. Now, are you going to do another season of that, or was that strictly an early stage pandemic podcast?
It started
which is its own genre, I think, now.
Yeah, no, it's
basically everyone who did a podcast in the first week or two of the pandemic and then quit after a month.
Basically what we did. No, I think we got all the way to August or September, but then
you hung in there.
Yeah, but so then Ken got real busy with Masked Singer and I Can See Your Voice, and then I had done Card Sharks in July. Mm. So we did not overlap. It was so we both got busy at the same time. And I think that kind of, I think we at one point we're going to bring it back in December. And then of course we got really busy with planning the special. And so I think we'll probably bring it back in January is my guess. And I hope, with our first guest, Taylor Swift.
Is this strictly a pandemic era podcast, or if the pandemic goes away, does the podcast go away too? Because like maybe. You guys were heavily tied into, heavily invested in COVID with your show.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. I mean, that's how it started. Because Ken actually knows all that. He knows it. He has all the info.
He is a doctor. A legit
he literally
doctor.
Is a doctor. He was a terrible doctor, as everyone knows. He killed a lot of people by accident. But no, but he really knows his stuff. And I said, hey, let's talk about this on the, and his wife came up with the name of it. And so that's what we talked about. And then we would just bring our friends on. Cause I had at one point, a publicist was like, who's your booker? I'm like, you're talking to him. cause we were just texting people we knew. I hope we bring it back in January because I have so much fun doing it. And he's, Ken and I, we can talk for hours without, and we will get more energy from it because we're extroverts. So, Yeah, I hope it comes back.
And even when I go back and listen now, you know, I have to say I'm even more impressed because that was still really, really early into like the first few weeks of this thing. And there was just so much misinformation flying around.
Yeah.
And yet Ken, you know, as much as we joke, he really knew his shit. And yep. also he was very frank about what he knew and what he didn't know, which honestly yep. we don't see enough of these days.
Yeah. And he strictly followed the science, and there was a lot of vaccines that were being worked on. And now obviously we're seeing the fruits of that labor, and there's going to be the Johnson & Johnson one's going to come out, and there will probably be another one after that, which is great because we can't get them fast enough, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. For
we
sure.
need to get, and if you're an anti-vaxxer, you should go, I don't know, smack yourself around, because we need everyone to get vaccinated. And I would just like look at it like a measles vaccination.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
I was just reading that, Bolsonaro in Brazil was telling people that if you take the vaccine, you might turn into a crocodile or a bearded lady. Yeah. That's breaking news this
week. Well, that's great.
What do you think about
and
that?
Helpful. I think it's, you know what, if you actually did turn into a crocodile, that would be pretty cool. Bearded lady, that's, you know, very, you could join any circus. But he seems super stable always on point with sound and intelligent policies.
Community, I think it ended what, like 4 or 5 years ago?
2015.
Yeah. 2015. Okay. Because over the past couple of years here, I constantly see it at or near the top of the most popular shows on Netflix and Hulu. Have you and Ken been surprised that streaming has given it sort of a second life and so many new fans?
It is. Yes, absolutely. I can't, you know, like it's really wonderful. It's a huge surprise to me. Not that I didn't think people would watch it again, but I didn't know what to expect. Because the show was always, well, we were always told, everyone always would go like, so the ratings aren't high. And the ratings actually were pretty good for 8 o'clock on NBC against the Big Bang Theory, which was a very strange way to program the show, as if we were going to somehow take down the biggest comedy in history. Literally, it is the biggest comedy in history that had been established for 5 years. And there's no way we, but even like at the time, the president of CBS, who is no longer there for good reason.
Oh yeah, what happened to that guy?
No, yeah,
I'm sure he left in very good standing.
Oh yeah, no, but he was like, why would they do that? And I was like, I don't know. So anyway, that's a long explanation as to why the ratings were always, and we were always told each year. So what I'm saying is that we weren't this big fat hit like Modern Family or The Office or somewhere like that, where, you know, like, oh, you guys are, you reach this hyper level of popularity, which means you're going to be on for as long as you want. It was always every year was like, maybe.
Yeah. And but you had very loyal fans. You had quite the cult following, I think.
And we had more. Joe Russo said if this had been a streamer from the beginning, it probably it would have been huge, which is nice for Joe to say that. But so we were always told each season, I think it, starting with the second or third season, they said, can the final episode of the season also be the finale of the series? We're like, thanks, vote of confidence. And that would be like being in the Pac-12 for football or something. It'd be like, you don't mind if we just at the beginning of the season put you last? We don't know, but if just in case. So it has been a kind of a great vindication because we knew when we were making the show, we knew it was good.
Oh yeah.
And I would be the first to tell you it was bad because I've been on bad shows. And so we knew it was always a crapshoot whether we were coming back, but we knew it was funny and we knew the cast was great. If I do say so myself, I was in it. And it's been great. Yeah. That's a very long answer to come back. I'm very happy. And to see it trending on Netflix is pretty exciting. And it's great for me because I've received so much money.
Mm-hmm. What's your cut of all the
Where's all the money? Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return with more when we come back in just a moment. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk of a community movie, and you guys did a table read for charity recently. It's actually done. This is not talk anymore.
It's great. Yeah.
You're not messing with me here.
Yeah, of course I'm fucking messing with you, Ben.
Okay. Jeez. I thought so. I kind of felt like you I would have heard that through the grapevine. I'm very gullible.
Yeah, it was like Fast and Furious. We shot it all over the world. Japan, Mallorca, Ibiza.
Yeah, under the radar COVID movie. Perfect.
Well, you know, I always thought that was like there would be no chance of a movie. And even though I'd be like, meh, who knows? But I think there's a better chance now than ever. I mean, the show is popular again, or popular for the first time. I'm not sure. And,
and the table read,
everyone said sure. So that, I mean, it's not like anyone's given us $200 million to make our, I don't know, our Pirates of the Caribbean version. But so that's not happened. Yeah. If you know someone who would like to give us the money, then that would be great.
I'd kind of like to see a Pirates of the Caribbean version.
I would too. I would watch that. So
I mean, you've pretty much done everything else with that show.
It's true.
It's hard to think of what's left. What other references you could squeeze in?
Yeah, I remember the day my kids were really young at that point, and I was like, "You should come today because Crystal the monkey is on set. There's a trampoline. It was when we were shooting the trampoline episode, and there's a puppy parade." Literally. So there was like the monkeys and like two dozen puppies and trampolines. And I was just that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I really do have a great job. This is pretty fun. This is pretty great. I'm so lucky.
Yeah. Now, the creator of Community, Dan Harmon, he's some kind of mad genius, isn't he? I mean, any guy who can create a show like that, that's so meta and so layered with so many cultural references.
Yeah.
I have to imagine he must be a fun hang. What's he like?
Well, he is a genius. I will say that. And I don't say it lightly. You know, he is an intense person and intensely funny. And I'm grateful to him for casting me on the show. And yeah, he's of that rare breed. It's hard enough to get a show even read, like the pilot. Then to get it made is almost impossible. And then for it to be picked up is next to, like, that's hitting two home runs in Yankee Stadium in the World Series. And then to get out of your first season and picked up for your second is, then a grand slam. So there's lots of shows on the air, but I don't know if people understand how difficult it is to get on the air and then to come out with Rick and Morty, which is a worldwide phenomenon, is pretty, you know, like a lot of bands, if you get one big hit, that's remarkable, but then there's bands that just continue to pump them out. And that is when you get into some sort of Mount Everest level of skill and talent and know-how. So I've always loved him, and he's basically turning into, like, he looks like he runs a lighthouse now. Like he's the cover of a hearty fish dick. Or
I don't think I've seen his picture in a while.
Yeah, or he looks like a Land's End.
I'll trust
like he'd
you
be in that. A Land's End catalog.
Okay.
L.L. Bean or something. He's grown his hair, his facial hair, and is on point.
I mean, that's pretty much all of us right now.
Yeah, I just shaved off my beard literally this morning for this interview, Ben Mathis.
Really? Yeah.
To make sure
you missed a spot, I think, there. Now, how many seasons were you juggling both Community and The Soup? Because there was some overlap there, wasn't there?
All six. Yeah.
All six? No kidding.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, that was busy times. Yeah. Thank God. I mean, and I knew during that time, I was like, this is pretty, I know I'm very fortunate right now. And I love doing them both. And they were really fun. And, and I, you know, like I just count my lucky stars that, you know, I thank God that it happened. So thank you, Jesus. And believe me, to have two full-time jobs was very busy. And I had two new kids, which, Yeah, that's why I have the greatest wife on the planet. My wife, Sarah, is very understanding, and she put up with my goofball face all the time. So
I should say so.
Yeah, so that was really busy, and it was great. I loved it. And I loved every minute of it.
You know, I always think it's funny to think back to the original version, Talk Soup in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I think of what Greg Kinnear had to work with, which was basically Jerry Springer clips and the Tonight Show monologues. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it really felt like the Soup was when that show really came into its own in the 2000s, because you had the birth of reality TV, competition shows, social media, influencer culture, you know, the expanded late night scene with The Daily Show and Colbert. I mean, before that, what was there to even talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we could have done the show daily, practically. There were so many clips. Kinnear was the pioneer, and he used, you know, it was Talk Soup because it was only talk shows. And for you young kids out there, there was a point where there wasn't nearly as many channels, but there were so many talk shows. And Springer was the winner, definitely, and former mayor of Cincinnati.
Right.
It was the kind of frontier of reality. Obviously, things like Survivor really changed television, and people realized, oh my gosh, and the real world, you can make these shows, and they're just as popular as dramas and comedies, or more popular. So, that's when it was really kind of a frontier. And I mean that in the way that, like, Britney Spears had her own show where she and Kevin Federline just had video cameras. And if you watch it now, it's kind of remarkable. You're like, how did their publicist, or being Bobby Brown with Whitney Houston and her daughter, which is insanely tragic. At the time, it was bananas. It was so crazy because it really was their life. And a publicist now would go, never. You can ever do that. And it was the beginning of RuPaul's Drag Race, which was way more. I mean, it was as dirty as a show gets that you can get away with. And now it's like, you know, it's an Emmy Award. I mean, it's really good. It's totally different, but it's really good. So those were the days. And
It's weird to think that Talk Soup couldn't even get permission to use Oprah clips. Now, I think you guys got Oprah clips, but when it came to the clips that you used on the Soup, were there any shows that just would not give you permission under any circumstances?
So we'd never ask for permission for any clip because technically The Soup was a news show. And you can use any clip for a week, and then you have to start paying for it. The only time we were stopped was by Tyra Banks, who I have met since, and she was very nice. I'm sure she was probably slightly secretly pissed, but she was super nice to me. But her team or whatever, we would show clips from her show, and then the show was made by King World, which was a huge distribution company.
Yeah,
and they said if you keep using her clips, we will forbid E from using any clips of ours. So we had to kind of hold off for a few months, and then we just went right back to doing it. And we had this really cool president, Ted Harbert. He was really cool because he let us do anything we wanted. And the number of times when we were like, should we be worried? He's like, don't worry about it. And he's like, he would say stuff like, just do it, just do it. And it was great. And you just don't hear network presidents saying stuff like that very much.
Not network presidents who want to stay network presidents.
No. Then he left very successfully. Not
network presidents who consult with their legal counsel.
Yeah. But he created, you know, like Joan Rivers show, of course, Chelsea Handler show. Yeah. And of course, and he did the Daily 10, and he hired Seacrest to do the news. So the network was humming along at that point, and he did it. And then he left for NBC, and everything changed. Yeah. That's when they said, please stop using clips. Like, then the president asked me to stop using clips of the Kardashians. And I was like, I'm going to use clips of the Kardashians. And it was very weird. It all got very weird.
Now, I want to get back to the special that you have, since you veered us so far off course here. You
I sure did.
I wanted to talk about the special.
So let's talk about the special.
Fox's New Year's Eve Toasted Roast 2021, airing December 31st at 8, 7 Central. Is this your first time hosting a New Year's Eve special?
Yeah. The only thing I've hosted on New Year's Eve is stand-up shows, which were... when you get to be that late at night at a casino or something, there's nobody listening. They're super drunk. So it's the first time and I'm very excited. And Ken is, you know, one of my best friends. So, I mean, he's a terrible doctor, as I've said, so, terrible, but he's one of my best friends and we've known each other since 2009. And, so it's really cool that, the president of Fox, is allowing us to, ruin their network with this 3.5 hour special. So we're really excited, and there's lots of music and cool appearances, and I'm sure there's going to be some wonderfully overlapping, awkward FaceTime or Zoom calls where we a celebrity drops in. So yeah, we're really excited, and I can't wait to get out there and just mildly ridicule one of my best friends.
So, yeah, let me ask you about the logistics of this. Are you and Ken doing this in studio or separately from your homes, or how's this going to work? Because it's live, right?
Yeah, we're doing it in studio. Ken is the most vigilant protocol for COVID stuff I've ever met. And so we have been tested. We get tested almost every day. And when we start ramping up to be in the studio, I was tested yesterday, I'll be rapid test tomorrow, and then through until the holiday comes up. So everybody on set gets rapid. They sit in their cars and they get rapid tested.
Okay.
After they've been tested the day before. So it's very thorough.
Okay. But aside from STDs, what about COVID?
Nice. I've had it like four times. No. I have gonorrhea. Of course. Yeah. It's the pandemic. So hopefully it'll all be safe. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to risk anything. So, cause I really want to do the special.
This is kind of the perfect year to take a gig on New Year's because, you know, number one, you don't have to be freezing your ass off on Times Square.
Yeah.
And it's not like you and your wife had big plans to go out on the town or something. So why not take some work on New Year's, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure buy like a really heavy coat just to wear because the studio can get very chilly.
There you go.
I would agree. It's a good year. I would say though that like Ryan Seacrest and Carson Daly and Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, they're way better at this. They've done it for years, so they're better shows. But
so let's just plug every other network doing a New Year's Eve special.
Yeah, I didn't say the networks. How dare you?
Okay.
Yeah, but no. It's nice that Fox thought of us. There is a huge break in it for local news, but yeah, whatever.
Right. The title of the special again is Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast. What's the roast aspect of this? Who or what are you going to be roasting, Joel?
Ken. All the time, constantly. Okay. It will be Ken. Yeah. We're going to roast the year, but I think, Ken, you know, Ken's and I our natural language with each other is us to insult each other.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited. It should be really fun. Yeah. You're going to watch, right? You're not having Seacrest on, right?
I will. You know what? Actually, shit. You know, I can't watch because my wife is a hardcore cord cutter. And so I have not watched Fox in 10 years, which drives me crazy because I love The Simpsons. I've been weaned on The Simpsons since I was like 13, 14 years old. So.
Yeah, what the hell? Well, what about Bob's Burgers? I guess you can get it on
Apple TV. Figure it out. I'll find a way. Now, can you tease some of the musical talent on this?
I know Gloria Estefan is doing a number. Maybe John Legend. I really should get the list. I'm just going to say the Rolling Stones. Taylor Swift. I'm just making all this up off the top of my head. T.I. He'll be there.
Yeah.
I know Gloria Estefan is going to sing.
Fox did a great job of prepping you.
Yeah. I need to get down the talking points. It'll be the greatest 3.5 hours of television you have ever seen. If you miss it, you might as well end your life. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, I did see here that you're going to have the first performance from the newly crowned winner of The Masked Singer, Leanne Rimes, and a special sneak peek of Fox's all-new spinoff show, The Masked Dancer. Now, yes. I confess, I have never seen The Masked Singer, so I don't understand the concept. And I especially don't understand the concept of the masked dancer. I mean, great dancing, you know, always depends on a limited field of vision, doesn't it? That just sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it gives it a sense of danger. Every time I've been on Masked Singer, especially the first season, I was like, I don't understand the rules. Am I judging how well they sing, or am I guessing who it is? And they're like, yes. And I was like,
okay.
I remember when that concept first came out and people were like, what is this? And then all of a sudden it becomes the most popular show on the planet. Obviously the judging is really funny, I think. And obviously Ken is so funny. But the musical ears that Nicole and Robin have they're kind of terrifying. And then Jenny's really good because she connects the dots really well. And I just get up there, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's Merlin Olsen. And they're like, he's dead. Okay, great.
I know you got to go real quickly. Any New Year's resolution?
No, I think New Year's resolutions are stupid.
Okay, same here.
Because no one ever fought. The people are like, yeah, I made a resolution to quit smoking 15 years ago and it just stuck. I nailed it. I just don't hear anybody. Just like, I hate that.
Yeah. One more time, you can see Joel McHale and Ken Jeong hosting Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2021, Thursday, December 31st, 8/7 Central, only on Fox. Joel, thanks for talking with me, man.
I'm going to fall asleep right here, Ben. I don't have another interview. It's just a nap. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you. You're a very nice man. Go get a real sweater.
Thanks again to Joel McHale for coming on the show. Don't miss Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2021 on December 31st at 8/7 Central, only on Fox. And follow Joel McHale on Twitter at Joel McHale. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us while you're there. 5-star ratings and detailed reviews are one of the best ways for new listeners to discover the show. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at @KickAssNewsPod and recommend us to your friends on your social media. For more fun stuff, visit kickassnews.com, and I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News.